wanted to tell Monty thank you for the scripture reading tonight, and that is going to be our text for this sermon. Is that from Ruth chapter 1, verses 16 and 17? But I want you to think about what was spoken there, what Ruth was actually saying in that description. Many of us have experienced a situation maybe where we have a close relative, or maybe we ourselves have been in a situation where we are just so close to somebody that the thought of being separated is actually painful. Not just that you don't want to be separated, not just the fact that, you know, we can go on a trip for a little bit, but genuinely it bothers you, the thought of being separated from that individual. Now, if you're married, I hope that that person is your spouse, by the way. But that is something that many of us understand, whether that be very close friends or whether that be those that are relatives. And when we talk about the situation in Ruth, they have gone through a traumatic experience together. They have been through the absolute worst kind of a scenario. Naomi lost her husband. Ruth lost her husband. Her sister-in-law lost her husband. Every male in the family died. Every single one. And if you think about the consequences of that situation, it's more than just we lost a spouse, which is a painful experience in of itself. That is, we have lost all instance of status. We have no respectability in the world now because we have lost those who had the ability to receive inheritance, to actually go to law and things of that nature. That's all gone now. So when Naomi is faced with this situation, she sends her daughter-in-laws back home and says, go back to your families where there's some level of security. I can provide you none. But Ruth makes this profound statement in verse 16 and 17, where she's looking at Naomi and she says, no. This will be one of the only instances where you see Ruth aggressively disagree with Naomi, aggressively stand against her. She says, no, this is not going to happen. Now let's go to Ruth chapter 1 and let's look at this situation again and let's notice what exactly Ruth is saying here. Starting in verse 16 again. Well, let's start in verse 15. And she said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. So Naomi has given Ruth the command, just go back home. Go back somewhere safe. Go back to what you're familiar with. But notice what Ruth says. But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you, or turn back from following after you, for wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. Ruth is making the statement, I am willing to pattern my entire life after you. Wherever you want to go, I'll go. Whatever you want to do, I'll do. Who you're going to worship, I will worship. She has given herself entirely to following after Naomi. She has only one future, and that's wherever Naomi is going to end up. Now, we could go through and we could talk about the history of Ruth and of the situations that were taking place, the land that they were living in, but I would like us to take some lessons from Ruth. Lessons from that statement that we can pattern for ourselves in this idea of entreating me not to leave thee. Entreat me not to leave thee. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to show the parallels in what's being said here, and as Christians, what we can say alongside those same lines. Let's start off with the first point. Where you go, I will go. I think you kind of have an idea where I'm going with this one. As Christians, we specifically have a responsibility to follow after God. You see, Ruth wanted to stay with Naomi regardless of where it took her. Sound familiar? See, we have a commitment to God as Christians, and we have to go wherever we are needed to go. Think about what happened in the first century, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, when Jesus is talking to his disciples. Shortly before he is going back into heaven, he makes this statement to them. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. What he's telling them is, your future is out there. Now, we can tell from many of the lives of the apostles that some of them actually stayed in Jerusalem. They didn't go into all the world physically, as was described here. They had responsibilities they dealt with in of themselves. But as a collective, as a group, they went everywhere. In fact, there are some church traditions that say that one of the apostles made it all the way to India. He made it farther with the gospel than Alexander the Great made it with his army. You think about that circumstance there. They are going farther in their own lifetimes than many of us ever will. Many of us generations will go. And they were spreading the gospel every step of the way. The same is true of us. We should be those who are willing to go wherever we are needed, to speak to whoever we are needed to speak to. And the key to that is this. We don't get to decide that. I don't get to determine who hears the word of God. I don't get to determine who is not worthy of God. I do not get to determine who is acceptable in our congregation. You know, I will convert them, but maybe they can go to some other church. No, 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 no. I don't get to decide that. I don't get to determine where I am to go with the gospel because God already set the boundaries. God already set out before us where we are to go, what we are to say. We speak only where the Bible speaks, not because some man said so, but because the words that are spoken, that's what will judge us. The words that are spoken in the gospel before us is what we will be held as a standard to. So it's our responsibility to go, to show the world what we have. See, Ruth was committed to a woman, a person. We're committed to Almighty God, greater than she could ever do. Naomi could make mistakes. There's no telling what life Naomi would have out before Ruth, but we know our God. We know who He is. Will we follow after Him? See, Ruth wanted to be close to Naomi no matter, notice this, if it cost her her own independence. Ooh, independence. We live in the United States of America. We have a Declaration of Independence that's behind bulletproof and temperature control glass to show us just how important independence is to us. We want that self-determination, that own, I get to decide where my life goes. Friends, not if you're a Christian. If you're a member of the Lord's church, if you follow after God Himself, you don't have that right anymore. How can you say that? Josh, God gave us free will. He told us we... Yes, you can choose. You can choose to reject Him just as you can choose to break the law. I don't advise it. I don't advise it. Because if I become a Christian, if I say, God, You are King over my life, that means He is law in my life. He's the one in the driver's seat, not me. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, what does it say? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, notice this, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What's he saying there? My life is wholly dedicated to following after God. My life is a sacrifice. I reduce myself to elevate God. If I have to take a loss, I take a loss. That sounds very different from the independence that we talk about today. What do we see today? What we see today is you are your own individual. You are your own person. You need to make sure you elevate your happiness above all else. No one should affect that. Friends, that is hogwash. That is hogwash. That sounds crazy, right? Because we are so geared towards finding happiness. But friends, we should be more focused on finding peace. We should be more focused on finding God Himself, who can give us better than anything this world can offer. The world can give you something comforting for now. But what happens in a few years? There was a man on one occasion who described that in society, as a nation begins to reach its greatest extent, it stops recording. It stops recording what they did, and instead it just starts focusing on entertainment. It stops focusing on our legacy and what we are doing, and instead it focuses on what makes me feel good right now. Rome, at the height of its power, it said it only needed two things to control its citizens: bread and circuses. Food and entertainment's all they needed to control an entire populace. Friends, am I willing to give up all the things that the world tells me is good in order to follow after God? Because you know what else the world will tell you is bad for you? God. You know what else the world will tell you is bad for you? Religion. You know what else the world will tell you is bad for you? Someone telling you what to do. That one's ironic. They tell you you're supposed to determine all of this for yourself. And we noticed this morning Solomon said that all of that is vanity and vexation of the spirit. Are we willing to give up what we have? Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, we understand that we are bought with a price. We're not ours anymore. God purchased us with His own blood. We chose to follow after Him. We signed our name to the dotted line, as it were. We said, God, I want to be a Christian. I want to have the benefits thereof. I want to follow after You. I think that You are the one that can tell me where to go. So I'm signing my name. I'm committing myself. Friends, how many people on this earth have breached the contract? How many people on this earth have said, God, I'm going to follow after You no matter what. In the first moment that there is an uncomfortable situation, they're gone. It's no accident that Jesus described in the parable of the sower the different soils that were listed. Some were very strong at first. They shot up. They were excited for what they were doing. But because they had no depth of earth, they withered away. Others were growing very well, but they were surrounded by other plants. They were surrounded by the wrong environment, and as a result, it choked out and it died. What will I be? Who will I be? Will I say that, God, You have the right to my life? You have the right to determine where I go, what I do, and how I live? Am I willing to say that, just as Ruth did? Here's another interesting one. Where you lodge, I will lodge. We have this funny idea that we can control our lives. That I can lay my own foundation. If I lay the right foundation, I'm going to be A-okay for the rest of my life. If you go look at many investment services or many people who talk about laying your own foundation so you can provide a good future for your children, a lot of what they tell you to do is investments. Investing in different funds, or maybe you invest in different stocks. But the reality is, that's only as stable as the market you put it in. That future that they tell you is only as stable as the nation that produces the money for that. Once that's gone, then where's the future? See, I can put my trust in the things of this earth, but there's no guarantee I'll have tomorrow. There's no guarantee I'll have 5 years to get that Roth IRA out. There's no guarantees. See, Ruth was telling Naomi that where she was going to live, the life she was going to build, was going to be where she was. Where Naomi was. Let's look at John chapter 15. That's John chapter 15. And specifically, we're going to be starting around verse 4. Here Jesus is speaking, he started off by describing the true vine and talking about how that was His role. But let's go to verse 4. Notice this. Abide in Me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in Me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He who abides in Me and I in him bears much fruit, for without Me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in Me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in Me and My words abide in you, you will ask what you will desire, and it shall be done for you. But this My Father is glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so you will be My disciples. What did He say there? You abide in Me, and I will abide in you. Do you realize the consequence here? Friends, there are many who are trying to, quote unquote, abide in, or have Christ abide in them, but they do not abide with Him. They're not living in the same place. The life they're building is separate from God, but I want the benefits of God. I want God to save my soul, but can I please just live my life how I want? Can I build the life that I want to build or that I think is best? You know, you got some good points, God, but I think I can do it just a little bit better for me. No, she's saying, where you lodge, I will lodge. I'm not even determining where I'm going to live. Naomi, you could walk into the very pits of a nightmare and I will follow you. You can decide to live on a mountaintop, I'll be there. You can decide to live in a valley, I'll be there. Wherever you choose to go will be my home. Can I say the same of my relationship with God? Can I say, God, no matter where I lay my head down, you were there? Truly? This meant that Ruth would not only choose the path, but she did not even choose the destination. Think about that. Where you go, I'm going to go. Whatever path you decide to take, I'll follow. But I'm not just going to determine where, I'm not even going to be able to determine the path. I'm also not going to determine where we end up on that path. What God wants of me, the people He wants me to talk to, the life He wants me to live, is that something I'm willing to follow? Is that something I'm going to let Him determine? Now, it's not as if we are living in a world today where God is whispering in our ear and telling us exactly where He wants us to go and what He wants us to do. But friends, He has laid out the pattern. He's laid out, He says, you can live in almost any life so long as it matches up with what I've told you to do. You can be a lawyer as long as you're a Christian lawyer. You can be a doctor so long as you're a Christian doctor. Just follow my path and I'll take care of you. Wherever you end up. I'm reminded of Jonah chapter 1. When God tells Jonah to go to Nineveh, that great city. And what's Jonah's reaction to that? No. No. God, I want them to face punishment. I know you're a just God. I know if you have me go talk to those people, you're going to save them. You can almost hear him gritting his teeth at the very thought of them being saved. Many times we determine in the book of Jonah that Jonah didn't want to go because of fear. It didn't look like Jonah was scared of Nineveh. He hated Nineveh. He hated the people there. He said, I will not dare talk to those people for what they've done. How do I talk about the world today? How do I treat my fellow man? How do I look at those who are outside of my own sphere? It wasn't that long ago that this nation delighted in the massacre of another nation of people. Still to this day, we're excited to talk about all of our enemies and who we want our enemies to be and how all the situations that are around us. But friends, God's not concerned about the external threats to our nation. He's concerned about the souls of the people in them. And yes, they're all people. I don't get to determine where I'm going to go, who I'm going to talk to. My life is dedicated to God first and foremost. In Acts chapter 9, verses 11 through 15, we have a very similar situation to that of Jonah, where God told a man to go preach to someone that he was concerned about. Saul of Tarsus has had God speak to him on the road to Damascus. He's waiting in Damascus because he was told that that's where he was going to wait and a preacher was going to come to him. God comes to Ananias. He says, Ananias, tag, you're it. Go talk to him. I want you to deal with this man. I want you to help this man because he is going to serve me. Do you remember what Ananias said? God, do you know who this is? I know who he is. I know what he's been doing. Are you sure about this? God says, yes, go. Now the difference in Ananias and Jonah is Jonah went off to the end of the earth to avoid what he was told to do. Ananias went to the next street and did what he was told. And as a result of that, the Apostle Paul came into being. The one that we read about the majority of the New Testament, the one that has written all these wonderful things for us to know. that same man. No, I don't get to determine my life. My life is dedicated purely to God. But she also says, your people will be my people. Ruth was not a Jew. Ruth was not from Israel. She was from Midian. She was a woman who the Israelites would call unclean. They are separated from society. We don't want them around. We're not to intermarry with them. We are to leave them completely out of the occasion. But she told Naomi, who was a Jew, your people will be my people. She said, I know the consequences. I know there's danger in that. We think today that we have difficulties between races. Nothing compared to what they had back then. You show up from a different town and you're not in the right area, that's it. And in the most brutal way imaginable. Your people will be my people. She chose to live in a foreign land just to stay close to Naomi. Just to be with her family. She didn't look at Naomi as just, oh, you're my mother-in-law. And we have a billion and a half mother-in-law jokes we can make nowadays. But no, she said, you're not just my mother-in-law. The one thing, the family tie that was connecting me to you is gone now, but I'm still with you. I'm still going to follow after you. I'm still going to be committed to you. Let's look at Matthew chapter 10. It's Matthew chapter 10. We're going to be starting in verse 35. Now, after reading this, it might seem a little strange that we're going here on this point. But bear with me for a moment. Verse 35. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Now you say, well, that sounds a little weird to bring up, Josh. You're talking about family ties and you're talking about bringing people together. And that's talking about division. But notice what Jesus was saying. He didn't say, I come to set Christian mother against Christian daughter. He didn't say, I've come to set Christian father against Christian son. He said, the message I'm going to teach is going to be divisive. It's going to divide people as much as it unites. Because to those who want to obey it, those who want to follow it, is unifying more than anything you can imagine. To those who refuse it, it will cause breaks in relationships. It'll sever family ties. One of the most heartbreaking things to witness in the church is when there is a leader, a preacher, a member who are adamantly following after God. They are committed to the cause. In fact, you could trust that person to handle just about any situation. But then their family member goes into sin. Someone close to them rejects God, and what do you watch happen? The faith, the commitment that person once had shatters and breaks apart. It's not every time, but it's very often. Friends, our families are wonderful things. They're blessings from God. They're gifts from God. But any relationship that separates me from Him, any relationship that puts me in danger, I have to understand God comes first. I have to understand my commitment to Him takes precedent over all. And that is not an easy thing to preach or hear. But it's true. Naomi was not Ruth's blood family. Just as many of us in this room are not blood family. but we are family. We're brothers and sisters in Christ, adopted into His household, because we all obeyed the same commands. We all have the same mission. God's people will be my people. No, we are not a nation of Americans or Chinese or anything like that. No, 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 no. We're Christians. Christians first and foremost. She did not get to choose those with whom she spent her time. She allowed Naomi to determine that. Think about that for a moment. She could have gone home. She could have gone back to the place where she was familiar with people. She could have gone into a place that was more comfortable. Instead, she said, "Where you go, I'm going to go. Your people are going to be my people." God gave us descriptions on how we're to live our lives. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, He says, "Evil communications corrupt good morals." That was not put there by accident. That wasn't just a side note that Paul wanted to throw in there. No, that was inspired Scripture. Because God understands that I can be strong now, I can be committed now, but put me in the wrong situation for far too long, and that faith can begin to break just as easily as it came together. The church was built to strengthen one another because God knew alone we were weak. God knew alone we were vulnerable. Together, we have greater strength. Because where I'm weak, another might be strong. Where I'm strong, another might be weak. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, "Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." He made this for our benefit. But also in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, let's go ahead and look there for a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I want you to notice this point here. Let's read this very carefully together. It says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness?" He continues on verse 15, "And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, 'I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people.'" Verse 17, "Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." If we put ourselves in situations where it is impossible for us to separate ourselves from a bad influence, we put ourselves in some very grave danger. How I live my life, the people I spend my time with, oftentimes determine how I'm going to talk, how I'm going to act. This is not something that's unique to the church either. I don't want you to think this is just something that Christianity threw out onto the world to make things more difficult. Even the world talks about this. If you listen to people who are trying to teach everyone how to be successful, the gurus of our day, for instance, what will they tell you? You're only going to be as successful as your friends are. You're only going to be as financially successful, mentally successful, intelligent, educated. You're only going to be as those things as the people you spend your time with. That's the world that says that, not God. But even God described how that has an effect on us. I've heard many people before who say, "Well, I might be family with the church, but I'm not friends with them." Do you really want to tell God that? Do you really want to tell God that the friends that you have are better than the church? He might look at you and say, "You don't act like one of my children when you're with them. You don't act like one of the people who claims to follow after God. You're different with my children than you are with the world, so explain to me why it's better." Your people will be my people. And your God, my God. your God, my God. Ruth chose to follow the same law as Naomi. Remember, she is not a Jew, but she's committed herself to living with Naomi. She's committed herself to following after a different God than she was used to. In Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, Joshua is standing before the people and he says, choose you this day whom you will serve. He's laying out an option before the children of Israel. He says, you can go back and you can worship the gods that your father served across the Jordan. You remember what happened to them? He said, you can go back to that crowd. You can worship those gods that your fathers thought were so great that after we come out of the Red Sea and we've crossed on dry ground, that one of the first things they do is put up a golden calf. He said, you can do that. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my family, God comes first. I can't speak as a parent. I'm not one, not even a husband yet. But I can speak as someone who has been a child. I can speak as someone who looked up to his parents. I can speak as someone who saw them live their life day in and day out. And I can promise you one thing, in the Kennedy household, God came first. And everything else was secondary. Can you say that? Can you look at your life and say, everything else is second to God? I can't answer that question for you. I can't look out in this crowd and tell you who's doing what. But only you can answer that question for yourself. Only you can determine if God's more important or sports more important. Is God more important or is extracurricular activities more important? Is God more important? Is education more important? Children pick up on these things very quickly. They see what's more important based on the actions that we make, that we live. They know what is most important to you. Naomi understood that she had to go home. She said, that's the only place I can go. And she went back to the land of her people. And Ruth told her, I'm trusting you to lead the way. I'm trusting you to go to the right place, and I'm going to worship the gods that you serve. Am I willing to serve God the way that He's intended? Ruth likely would have been surrounded by idolatry her whole life. Would have been surrounded by the gods of the heathen people around, and this would have been a drastic change of life for her. It would not have been comfortable, that's for sure. But she's making a commitment here. When I became a Christian, I went to the Lord and I said, I'm following after you wherever you want to go. The path that you laid out, the word that you have taught, that is my life from here on out. But there are many people who have named the name of Christ, but someone else is their God. Some other being, some other person, some other activity, some other function, that's their God. And you say, well, that's kind of cruel to say. Don't you know that the world is difficult? Don't you know that it's hard to work? Josh, you're a preacher. You have to get up and preach every Sunday. How can you even talk about how hard life is? Because I know what God said. It's not coming from me. We can thank God Himself that you don't have to take advice from a 23-year-old in the pulpit. You're taking advice from Him. You're taking the commands from Him. And where I violate God, I have to stand judgment for that. I'm the only one that can say from this pulpit, I'm the only one that can say about himself that I follow after God. And actually know if it's true. Let's skip ahead a little bit. We were in 1 Corinthians. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Specifically, we're going to look at verse 11. Paul talking to the church in Corinth, he's reminding them of where they came from. He gave them a list of all of these things that they used to do. But notice what he says. And such were some of you. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Is that true of you? Is that true of me? Was I like that before, or am I just giving a sequel? Was I separate before I became a Christian? Was I following after things that were wrong and I changed and followed a different path, or do I still allow those things to come visit every once in a while? Do I still leave a bed prepared for my sins? Ruth gave up everything that was familiar to her to follow after a person. If I've become a Christian, I've given up everything to follow after God. Everything that once was important. If you grew up in the church, maybe it was a little bit different of a situation because you've always heard about how important God is, but the reality, friends, is that there's just as many ways to do wrong growing up in a church household as one that's separate. That decision has to be personal. That decision has to be final. There's no 30-day return policy for Christianity. Once I make the commitment, I've decided that's my life. Yes, I can throw it away. Yes, I can give it up and say, well, I want to live however I want to live. But friends, that has lasting consequences. In fact, Jesus described it was better if you never named the name of Christ than to go back on it. Because think about how much worse it would be. Having known that we had salvation in our hands, we had access to it. It was right there. But something was just too important. Something just in the moment was so important to me that I was willing to give that up. One of the heartbreaking consequences of hell is eternity. Eternity remembering. Remembering what I did in my life. We're going to remember all the decisions that we made. We're going to remember what separated me from God, what was so important. So what will my decision be? Entreat me not to leave thee. Is that our attitude towards God? Does our attitude towards God say, there is nothing on this earth that is going to separate me from you? Let me stay with you, God. You want to know the exciting thing about it? There's nothing holding us back from that except for ourselves. There is nothing separating us from God except for our decision to follow Him. He's already said, my hand's outstretched waiting on you. I was wondering what took you so long. What will your decision be tonight? Only you can decide where your future is going to end up. You can decide to follow after God, or you can decide to continue on in the world as you always have. Maybe tonight you've never even become a member of the Lord's church. You're not a part of that family. You've not said these things like Ruth said to Naomi, to God. His plan is simple. We must hear the word, Romans 10:17. Believe it to be true, John 8:24. Upon believing it to be true, I'm willing to repent of all of my past sins, Acts 17:30. And based upon that repentance, that change of mind and commitment to God, just as Ruth was committed to Naomi, I'm willing to confess Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is God Himself. And I will follow Him. And based upon that confession, we would be happy to baptize you into Christ this very night. Bearing that old man of sin, raised to walk in newness of life. According to Romans chapter 8. If you have anything that's holding you back from making that decision, if it's information, we'd be happy to study with you. To sit down and go through the Word of God so you can be sure, because there is no reason to leave these doors tonight unsure about where your eternity lies. But maybe you are a member of the Lord's church. Maybe you already said these things to God. You said, Lord, I'm going to follow you anywhere, but maybe that promise has fallen a little short. Maybe that dedication to God has begun to waver and fall away. We have these front pews reserved, these front chairs reserved for you to come forward. Not so we can sit and poke fun about what you've done wrong. We already talked about before how that's a problem. No, it's so that you can make a commitment right if there's a public nature to it. So that you can say, I want the prayers of the church. I want encouragement to go forward. That's what they're there for. Don't hesitate. Don't wait for a more convenient day. If you have anything that's holding you back from God this very night, make it right. Come now as together we stand as we sing.